B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Monday, April 29th, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on CBS Sports Radio 1300 in Baltimore, as well as the Ticket 1230 in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll recap our weekends without giving away any spoilers. Plus, are we heading towards a future without single-player games? Would that actually be like the death of video games? Those conversations are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today talking about one of the biggest events of the weekend. No, not Endgame or the Battle of Winterfell. The weekend also played host to the first Homestead Weekend in Overwatch League. Joining me to help break down this very important discussion is the Checkpoint XP crew, Robbie Landis.
Moving the payload.
Norris Howard.
What up, though?
And Joe Sloan.
Check a look.
So this was a big deal, being, you know, outside of the grand finals, which of course happened at the Barclays Center, and were a huge success. This is one of the very first times that the Overwatch League has extended beyond their Burbank studios to try and put together some kind of local presentation.
Right.
And this happened in Dallas.
Yep.
At the
Allen Event Center.
And the first thing that happened was the power went out.
Yeah, it was really strange. About 10 minutes into the first match between Paris and London, the stream just cut out.
The stream just went dead.
Yeah, the stream just cut out and went to, their We'll Be Right Back slate.
Sure.
And it was down for about an hour, but to their credit, stuff, information was put out fairly quickly saying that it was an outage in the area, not anything particularly centralized to the Allen Event Center.
Right. Apparently, the first map had just wrapped up and the power went out, like you say, in kind of the Dallas area. It wasn't just like their power or their production failed. No, it was out all over the place.
So one of my favorite things was just watching the various Texas memes that rolled across my Twitter feed at that point. Lots of apparently there was an entire SpongeBob episode where they spend the entire episode ragging on Sandy because she's from Texas.
They do, yeah.
So it's just various scenes from SpongeBob SquarePants from that one episode.
And Puckett also went full Texas hard.
No, he did.
He had
the whole outfit on. Wait a minute.
Like boots and the hat.
Yes.
Really?
Rhinestone shirt.
Embroidered shirt.
No way.
Yes. 100%.
Did he have the bolo tie?
Oh, I can't remember if he did the bolo.
Monty did the bolo tie.
Listen, I was born in Dallas. Okay, may not sound like. Hey, don't you talk no
burn
mess.
Burn blue, Nate. Burn blue.
All right, but listen, I was born in Dallas. I know it doesn't sound like I was born in Dallas, but yes, I was born in Dallas. And listen, the look is not complete without the bolo tie.
I mean, I'd agree with you. The one that killed me was London Spitfire player Guard, who just walked out in the same sort of outfit, bright, like yellow, burnt orange cowboy shirt with the hat. He had like a little gun belt on, and he comes out and he looks at both teams and he goes, does the finger guns, and then does a full roll.
He must have looked like Michael J. Fox in Back to the Future
absurd.
3.
Absurd. And then he does a roll, because McCree in the game, he rolls and he reloads.
No.
So he rolled and then hopped up and wins.
Dot Esports put out a drinking game for the event, if you guys didn't know that.
No!
So take a drink if any of the players or anyone on the talent team chooses to wear cowboy boots. Watchpoint host Chris Puckett begins the broadcast with howdy. Take a bonus drink if he at any point says yeehaw.
People refer to this as the Battle of the Yeehaws, so that's a lot.
Take another bonus drink if the entire desk refuses to reply back. So there you go. No, I thought this was really entertaining, because like, if you're going to do your first event, in Texas,
Yeah, lean into it.
Exactly. Lean into it. Have a little bit of fun with it. And, I mean, obviously, you say, like, the power went out, but overall, it sounded like they handled the situation pretty well. Mm-hmm. Before long, they were, like, blasting music into the arena, and everyone's, like, dancing in the dark, which that's pretty cool, and everyone seemed to take it in pretty good stride.
Yeah, that's for sure. It was really a really positive environment. Also, they changed the schedule a little bit for the homestand weekend. There were 4 matches a day, and they only played Saturday and Sunday. So that is technically 2 less days. Of matches. And to be fair, I kind of really liked it that way.
2 days, I gotta tell you something, 2 days is enough.
Yeah,
I mean, like, obviously you have enough so many teams, you have to get so many matches in, but we're already kind of hearing people talking about, like, man, Thursday through Sunday every week,
if you're trying to watch every single match,
yeah,
it's
so
lot.
difficult. Yeah.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on the sports beat of East Texas, 104.3 in Carthage, 103.9 in Marshall, and 100.7 in Henderson, as well as 1250 and 94.5 ESPN San Antonio. We're talking about the homestand week that went down in your backyard out in Dallas. The Fuel and the Outlaws taking on one another. What were some of the other matchups that were going on? Because I love this idea of, like, making it an exhibition before they try to make it like a one-off. Because if it was just a singular match, you know, just the Fuel versus the Outlaws,
that didn't justify the trip. It'd
right,
be very
it's
quick.
The battle
exactly.
for Texas.
It's,
yeah, yeah.
It's more like a single team hosts what's happening that week.
Exactly.
And I think that that's a really great way to start introducing esports on a large scale to, you know, places where it's starting to really take root. We've seen the Texas Triangle really become a hotbed for esports. I think this made it a natural choice to put the very first event outside of Burbank, outside of the grand finals in New York. This made perfect sense to me.
No, not only that, you have Dallas and Houston, which are probably the two most rabid vocal fan bases in all of the OWL. Well,
this was just reading all of the messages correctly.
At one point, there was a chant going on that you could hear from the crowd that was, "Let's go Outlaws," that sort of through the middle kind of morphed, and it was, "Let's go." You couldn't really hear what it was as it slowly became, "Let's go Dallas," like within the span of 30 seconds.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it was great. The crowd was amazing out there.
And for the first time, we really got to hear a biased audience. I mean, obviously, when it was everything's being held in Los Angeles, some of the Los Angeles teams get a lot of pop, but
sure.
Los Angeles is such a kind of hotbed of people who come and visit there.
Really? I mean, because we've been to the Burbank Arena, and
everyone gets cheered.
Exactly, right? Like, at that point, when we had gone, it was mid-third stage in the first season.
Right.
The Dragons were still winless, but they were getting some of the biggest cheers because, you know, like, I think that
they
people,
were the underdog. And
they were the underdog, but people showing up to the arena want to see the product succeed.
That's it.
And I don't know that same sort of cheerleading for the product was happening here. It was definitely more cheerleading for their home team, and I love that aspect of it.
Well, and definitely, and that's the thing, it's also Los Angeles, quote unquote. There's
that's
so
true
much
too.
Other stuff and other draw. You go to Dallas and it's not football season, and, you know, the Stars are not in the playoffs. Like,
yeah, what are you
what
gonna,
else is there
you know,
to do in Dallas?
There was
at
actually
that time.
Well, there's a lot, but
I'm sure there is. But I'm saying from a sporting
no,
from a sporting
I get what you mean. You know, if you're looking to rally around something, this is a great flashpoint to kind of rally around.
Well, and it wasn't just the fans that this was affecting either. There was actually an interview with Space of the Valiant who said, like, well, you know, we've been playing in Los Angeles since the beginning, and now we're going to Dallas, who they face, by the way. He actually said on camera, he goes, "We're terrified."
Well, speaking of the Valiant, that drinking game I was talking about, you get to finish your drink if you're a fan of the Valiant because, quote, let's face it, you need it.
Hey, they took Seoul to game 5.
So,
they did.
But I want to talk about what this means for the future because we're going to see more homestand matches. Do you think that this bodes well for the future of these homestand matches? And then as we look towards, you know, season 3, when we start having home and away games on a regular basis, you know, what do you guys see as the Overwatch experts?
I honestly think think that Atlanta will be a much better gauge as to how well this will work. I think still
Any event like this would work in Texas.
Well, not just because it's Texas, specifically because it's Overwatch and Dallas and Houston.
Yes.
And I think you have so much bespoke audience already there that's ravenous and rabid and turned up for this. I think Atlanta, which is a town that has, you know, doesn't necessarily have the same esports
also
connections.
Also a newer team.
It does. I mean, listen, there are great nerd events that happen in and around the Atlanta area. DragonCon is one of them.
Yeah.
Totally. One of the most well-attended conventions in the entire United States. So I think that, listen, they have the ability to be able to attract a crowd. I think you're right that this is going to be kind of the test. You know, Texas was a bit of a gimme. We've seen it take root over an entire season. This is the first season for the Atlanta Reign. This is the first season that that city has really felt representation in the OWL. And so I think that this is going to be a much better kind of canary in the coal mine for how this is going to work moving forward.
Right. When you do your first match and you do it between, you know, in Texas, you're going to have the rivalry of Dallas and Houston.
It was built in.
Like, exactly. No one is going to stay home from that one. No, you're going to go on and cheer your team.
Right.
When it's Atlanta, you don't necessarily have that base rivalry from within the state that's attracting all sides. It's just going to be, will people turn up either to see Atlanta or for the novelty of being able to attend their first Overwatch event? Because frankly, not very many people can go out to Los Angeles to watch an event there.
Yeah, I think that that's fair. And I think that there's appeal for both of them. I'm really going to be curious how big the stadium size that they're going to put the event in when it comes to Atlanta is going to be. Because, you know, 4,200 seats, that's
4,500.
That's pretty, you know, like that's definitely not.
It's not chump change.
Yeah, it's not chump change, and it's definitely not.
It's not Barclays Center either.
Barclays Center. Yeah, thank you. That's what I was searching for.
Or the Rogers Arena in Vancouver. It's definitely smaller than those.
And that was the other thought is, you know, wow, the Rogers Arena is so much bigger than this. What is that going to end up look like? Mm-hmm. So listen, we're going to have to leave it right there, but we want to hear from you. Were you watching the homestand weekend? What did you end up thinking of the matches? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, are we heading towards a future without single player games? We'll discuss that to wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, we'll give a spoiler free recap of our weekend. Stick around, that's ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. My name's Nate Bender. So glad to have you along. I want to thank everyone listening on the sports beat of East Texas, 104.3 in Carthage, 103.9 in Marshall, and 100.7 in Texas, as well as 1250 and 94.5 ESPN San Antonio. Checkpoint XP Daily is now part of the BPod Network at BPodStudios.com. For more great listening options like Inside the Ropes, a weekly look inside wrestling in the WWE, and and Talking Rock with Meltdown, an interview and music news podcast, then go to bpodstudios.com, the place to be for podcast discovery. It was a busy weekend for all of us, between trips to the movie theater, multiple trips, I'm sure, group watches of Game of Thrones. There was a lot going on. So without it revealing any spoilers, we need to be very careful about how we talk about our weekends right now.
Yes.
Because
this is the trickiest weekend segment we've done.
All right, yes, listen, in a while. Allow me to begin. My weekend, most of all, consisted of taking care of a very sick girlfriend.
Oh, no.
So that was what a lot of it was.
That sucks.
But she also said, it's Sunday, go play soccer. So I went to go play.
Did she sound like that?
Yes, she did.
Oh, she's not doing well.
No, she is not. But, you know, so I went, got
it's
a little
also
soccer.
Cold as hell on Sunday.
No, one. It was 50.
All right, we have different opinions of what is cold.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I sat around doing almost absolutely nothing with the windows open, and at one point I went, oh, I think I need to shut this.
That wasn't cold. 50 after running around outside is nothing. It's actually quite
I don't know
perfect.
Nothing about that.
Yeah, I know. You can't remember
you
the last
on
time.
The edge, Nate.
You can't remember the last time you did a full sprint. Can you?
A
full sprint that didn't involve the airport? We might have done that once or twice.
Yeah, I was going to say that'd have been the one.
That was a sprint?
Well, depending on which time you're talking about. We've had some full sprints.
The first E3, that was a full sprint.
Where they made me go back like in and out a few times.
That one was literally
that
was
we
a
were
sprint
sprinting.
From you.
Well, he was right there with me, man.
Yeah, he was.
Oh.
I was waiting for him on the other side of the security line.
They were doing it with the bag.
That was not fun. That was really not fun. I thought I might die. I was like, am I gonna have to be the guy that gets his shirt cut open and laid down on the aisle in the friggin' plane here, because I don't want to be that guy.
No one wants to be that guy.
If it makes you feel any better, we'd have taken pictures.
We definitely would have.
Oh, great.
Awesome. Social media would have been aware.
Totally. Oh, throwback
Phenomenal.
Thursday every week.
Phenomenal.
It happened on a Saturday.
We
don't care.
With his hamburger meat out, getting defibrillated on the plane.
Back Friday.
Here's Nate in full cardiac arrest. Look, he's turning blue.
You'll never guess what happens next.
My weekend was a little bit disappointing. I was not able to see Endgame on Sunday.
Aww.
I'm going tomorrow to
but
go
you saw
see
Game
it.
Of Thrones, right?
I did okay. see Game of Thrones.
But we have a whole other show for
that's,
that.
And that's the thing, yeah. We're not going to talk too much about that. So instead of talking about the plot line, which we'll talk about tomorrow on Winter Has Come, which, by the way, is our Game of Thrones podcast. You can find that over at checkpointxp.com. Subscribe to the podcast. Leave us some reviews. Let us know what you're thinking about it. But it's our special short run podcast covering the final season of Game of Thrones. So anyway, instead of talking about the plotline, let's just talk about the way that we like reacted to the episode. Because
yeah,
so I decided, all right, I'm going to get a nice drink. I'm going to put a cocktail together for myself.
Oh,
getting fancy.
That's right.
I like it. I like it. What'd you have?
I had a Jack and Coke, which is my kind of go-to.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Drink.
If that's fancy, sure.
Well, it's not fancy. I never said it was fancy. I said I was going to have a cocktail. Okay. You said it was fancy.
I thought you were fancy.
No. No, I don't get fancy.
like Nate's gonna bring out like a Merlot or something like that. Get all like
you,
super
the
fancy.
One
th- on
here's
ya.
The one thing you Come need on. To learn about me is that I genuinely don't like nice things. Like I genuinely like crappy things. Like if it's got duct tape holding it together, I'm like, I want to buy that. Like it's weird. I don't
Nate's
understand.
Drinking a Heineken Light.
That's right. Yeah. Like I've just had to embrace that.
Oh
that
my God.
Part of my personality is that I just like terrible things. Like,
all right.
I genuinely...
You like garbage. I
genuinely like the Coney Island around the corner that never has any people in it.
I've never seen a single...
I thought it was closed for 4 months until I drove through the drive-thru and someone... Like, it was like interacting
it was
with
closed,
a ghost.
Dude.
It was like interacting with a ghost because I rolled down my window. I'm like, no one's going to be here. No one's been here in years. And suddenly... there was a voice from beyond the grave that was like, what can I get you?
Nate, you did interact with a ghost. That's why the food was bad.
It's not bad. It's the best Coney Island around, and you can't tell me different. It's called Joe's Coney Island, and the place is just falling to pieces.
Of course it's called
I get it.
Joe's.
I unironically like White Castle.
See, like, I there's just, I like horrible things, and people hate my taste and stuff, and that's fine. I'm just willing to embrace it.
You like The Incredible Hulk? I get it.
I like The Incredible. I genuinely like punk rock music that other people find unlistenable.
Nothing more has proven that you really love Terrible Things
is the fact that I went back to punk rock. Like, at this point, at 33 years old, after complete, like, not, I haven't listened to punk in like 10 years. I'm getting back into it, and I'm like, this is awesome because it's not. It's
awesome because it's bad.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, it's bad. It's unmarketable, and I love it.
I was more so going to say his love for The Incredible Hulk.
Oh, well, that too.
Whatever. Anyway,
back to your Jack and Coke.
That's right. So I have my Jack and Coke, and I'm watching the opening moments of the episode, and by the moment Melisandre appears on scene and like things start happening, because whenever I watch Game of Thrones or really anything that I want to pay attention to, I watch it back in my bedroom, and on my bed I turn all the lights out and I'll watch it on my TV back
snuggles
there.
Snuggles in under his fat tray.
That's right. Exactly. So instead, yesterday, a very special thing happened where when the battle actually started, like in earnest, I moved to what I call Twin Peaks position, because that's the only show that has ever made me get out of relaxing mode where I have to sit at the end of my bed like this and watch what's going on. I was like that for 40 minutes. Twin Peaks is the only show that has ever made me do that. And Game of Thrones last night, the Battle of Winterfell, made me do that.
Can we please get an inappropriate for Nate lying in bed in Twin Peaks position? Because no,
I thought of it too.
Yeah,
appropriate.
Come on. That was a good Palpatine laugh, actually, right there. Well done. That was good.
It kind of was pretty good.
So that was my week. I didn't do much else. I did take advantage of the Fallout 76 double XP weekend. I did play quite a bit. Other than that, not a whole lot going on for me.
I picked up for the Switch, the 10 and 10.2 remaster.
Oh, okay.
Because I had never played.
Why?
I had never played.
That's the first thing I said to him, too.
Why?
So I had never played 10.2. I'd never even tried it.
Okay.
And I decided, all right, it's got the job system. I guess I'll give it a go.
Still, but why?
Yeah. Anyway, I got about 10 minutes into that and went, you know what? I better play 10 again. I don't remember any of the lore. To which Robbie Fatstack said, I've played 10 too. It doesn't matter that you remember the lore or not. It really
doesn't.
Yeah,
but
it doesn't.
So then I had to just say, okay, well, I'm not having fun with this, so I'm going to play 10 because of that. And I started playing Final Fantasy 10 again on the Switch.
Here's the thing. I can't believe that you would buy Final Fantasy 10 and 10-2 over the masterpiece that is Dragon's Dogma Dark Arisen.
Yes!
That is currently on the Switch right now.
Is that officially out now?
That's officially out. It was out
last
week.
And it's $30.
It's $30.
Well, I'll probably have to pick that up too.
It's great.
Honestly, that's one of the better RPGs that I've played in like the last 10
great.
Years.
It's
great. It's really a very good game.
I'm already 20 hours into Final Fantasy X, so I'm going to have to go ahead and finish it.
Dragon's Dogma is Japanese Skyrim. Is it the Japanese made Skyrim?
Yeah. That, you know what?
That's what Dragon's Dogma is.
I got to tell you, that doesn't sound particularly appealing, but I'll take your word that it works. I'll take your word for it.
It's really good. No. Me and Nate will fight you in this room. There'll be no slander about Dragon's Dogma.
But here's one of the best parts about Dragon's Dogma is that you can crawl on your enemies like you can Shadow of Colossus. Thank you.
Oh, well, I'm into that.
Yeah.
That's cool. I like Shadow of Colossus.
Have you ever been fighting a dragon and thought, boy, what would make this a whole lot easier is if I could scale up its neck and drive my blade through the top of its skull.
I think that on the regular, actually.
Let me tell you this. Dragon's Dogma is such a special game because there's a griffin that you fight.
Yes!
Right?
The griffins.
There's a griffin that you can fight. You first encounter it, you're like, holy hell, this thing is really cool, but it's strong and fast. And you're just like, oh, if I jump on it, I'll be able to stab it and keep it from jumping up and flying away. No, that is a lie. You get on his back, and that motherfucker jumps up and flies away.
Oh.
And you're like, holy hell, I'm on the back of this flying ass griffin.
All right, well,
I don't know what to do, because if I let go, I will fall surely to my death.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
all of those things are true.
As soon as I clear 10, I guess I know what I'm doing next.
Yes.
I'm pumped. I'm already 20 hours into 10. I'm not stopping now. So,
at what part in the story are you?
I'm at the Oasis in. After the first Maester Seymour fight.
I told him he's moving fast. For 20 hours, he's moving fast.
I picked it up Saturday morning. I picked it up Friday night, had to install overnight.
Sure.
Or download overnight. I started Saturday morning, and then I was like, oh, 14 hours have passed.
Wow.
Interesting. I had less time on Sunday because Endgame and Game of Thrones.
Sure.
But, yeah, I put like another 6 hours in. I'm like, man, I am moving through this game.
Oh, color me impressed.
Yeah.
Robbie, what about you?
Well, like you guys, the majority was Avengers, Game of Thrones, and Overwatch, which we have completely separate shows for. So,
and you're on all of them.
I know. You know what? I started watching The Orville.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which,
how's that?
What is that?
Is that the Seth MacFarlane show? Seth MacFarlane show. It's sort of like, you know, sci-fi. It's on Hulu, and it's supposed to be very campy, like a real callback to like 90s sort of sci-fi.
Hey, what was the Tim Allen movie where it's like Star Trek?
Space Quest.
Yeah, it's like Space Quest.
Galaxy
if it was made today.
Quest, I think.
Galaxy Quest.
There we go. Yeah.
And it's interesting because I watched the first and the second episode, and I know that it's purposefully made to be campy, but I kind of wasn't really feeling it. On top of the fact that every time Seth MacFarlane opens his mouth, he's just a dog. He's Brian.
He has typecast himself as Brian.
He doesn't try to do anything else, and I'm just like, I don't think that I like this. And then next thing you know, I'm on episode 12, so I guess it's actually not that bad.
That's the problem, is he does three voices very well, but all those voices are spoken for.
And Adriana Padalecki, I think is her name, is in it. She played Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. She was Bobby.
Really?
Mockingbird.
Oh, okay. Yep. All right.
Okay.
But no, actually, I'm pretty entertained by it.
You think it's pretty okay, but you're 12 episodes in. I can't explain it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I know how those go.
Yeah,
interesting.
So that was pretty much my weekend.
All right. Well, listen, we're going to leave the discussion right there, but we want to hear from you. What did you get up to this weekend? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, are we heading towards a future without single-player games? Would that be the death of video games? Stick around, that discussion is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Fanatic in Philadelphia, as well as everyone listening on ESPN Pittsburgh. Check out our website over at CheckpointXP.com, and while you're there, make sure you sign up for the Checkpoint XP Nation newsletter. Get behind-the-scenes insight, photos, and access to contests and unique content. All it takes is an email address and a zip code, so sign up today over at CheckpointXP.com. A reader using the name Coolsbane submitted an article to Metro over the weekend talking about single-player games and how he believes that the single-player market is healthier than it's been in a long time. It's opened up an interesting conversation about just how healthy the single-player market actually is and what the future could look like. And, you know, first of all, I do want to mention that there are companies who it seems to be their ethos
to continue on the tradition of single player games.
Bethesda, for example.
Exactly. We saw
even Sony recently has said that they plan to continue these.
Right. Well, and they've seen success with a lot of their single player titles as well. But I think the biggest thing here to consider are the margins that each one, that the two types of games are operating off of.
Well,
because it seems like a game like, you know, Clash of Clans or, you know, even Fortnite to some extent seem to be operating off of minimal investment, minimal development, maximum reward, maximum, you know, ability to monetize those things.
Well, but I think a big question would say at this point is what exactly is a single player game? Because if you ask me and a lot of people, you say, oh man, Red Dead Redemption, that's a single player game, right? Not really, because you got Red Dead Online.
Sure.
That
it comes has a multiplayer mode for sure.
Right, but as we've seen, Rockstar is able to take their multiplayer modes and monetize them so much to a point that development is still carried on for years and years and years and years, to a point where I don't think I would call GTA 5 a single player game anymore.
Well, GTA 5 is. GTA Online isn't. I mean,
why make the distinction between the two games?
You can't
get it when you buy GTA 5.
Exactly. You don't go to the store and buy GTA Online.
Right,
you buy GTA 5.
Whether you're buying it for GTA 5 or for the online mode.
That right there is not like that's the exception to the rule. What happened with GTA 5, GTA Online was like the perfect sort of evolution of a single player game into the online, you know, game.
I'll give you that.
As a service.
Right,
so
sure.
It's hard to say that's a rule or by any stretch.
So, I mean, if we're going to define it, like, I think, you know, a single player game is any game with a mode that is only playable by one person.
And so, Call of Duty falls into that aspect too, outside the last one.
Well, but there are games that have single player aspects and multiplayer aspects. And I think what we're talking about here when we talk about the death of single player is what we saw with the last Call of Duty Black Ops game, where there was no single player campaign, and it was just a bevy of different online multiplayer modes.
Well,
and I think that's what we're talking about when we talk about the death of the single player experience.
Right. Well, it's interesting because it's getting to the point now where single player and multiplayer being so kind of blended together, where a hard definition is a lot harder to come by. It's a lot more of just this thing of I can't define it, but I know it when I see it.
Well, especially when you have games like Destiny or, you know, partially online games that have
Dark Souls.
Or Dark Souls that have an online element. It is, but it has multiplayer online elements that are built into it. So, you know, would you consider a game like that has the ability to play with other players, to bring another player into your world, would you still consider that a strictly single-player experience?
If I don't unplug think so. It from my Wi-Fi, can I still play it?
Yes, you can.
Oh,
Dark Souls is a good example of this, where you actually can. That is a game that you still can play without being connected to an external network.
In that sense, though, we're talking about, you just said it, single player experiences, not single player games. God of War, single player game.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
No other way to play it.
There's no other way to play it.
So, if we wanted to go by the standard of playable when unplugged from the internet or disconnected from the internet, I think that's a fair place.
I mean, yes, because, and again, Dark Souls offers two different experiences, because the experience of playing Dark Souls changes as soon as you start lacking invasions and getting assistance from other players.
So, Nate, you kind of alluded to this at the beginning when we talked about the margins, right? So what we're seeing more and more is, because these multiplayer experiences, your Fortnites, your Final Fantasy 15, A New Empire. Hey, there's a good example. 15, A New Empire versus 15. The amount of money that went into one versus the other versus the returns on those two games is staggering. We've had people admit on our show that they've invested thousands of dollars into A New Empire.
But would they have if it wasn't for their investment in the storyline of Final Fantasy 15?
I mean, isn't that just record keeper?
It depends. I mean, I think
or
that
investment in Final Fantasy as an IP.
As an IP. I think that's very much up for debate. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on Fox Sports, Shoals 97.9 FM and 1340 a.m. in Florence, Alabama. We're currently talking about whether or not the end of single player modes or single player games is coming. And Joe, I'm glad that you brought up the margins, because one of the things that's in play here and that we see in play in single player games is that the same motivations that make somebody want to buy or acquire an item in a game that has an online multiplayer mode do not necessarily translate over to a single player experience. That cool skin that you got for your character, that cool armor that you spent $14 on your character, yeah, you better be able to show that off to somebody else, or else it's pointless.
Yeah, that's exactly, because if you get that, like, I don't customize my characters hardly at all in single player, but if I can take it online,
online multiplayer, right, like how often, I mean, maybe this is a bad example, but you know, your character in Fallout, does it really matter what they're wearing when you're playing Fallout 3 or Fallout 4? Because you don't see your character 90% of the time, in 76, you know other people are going to see your character, so you think a little bit more about
it. I think the Norse will probably agree with me here, but unfortunately I'm gonna go to the other side of that. I'm playing through Borderlands 3 right now, and every time I log in or every time I go into a new zone, I change the skin and the customizable face that I wear.
All glamour all the time.
Yeah,
interesting.
Even single player or not. And it's a first person game, so you're right.
You're really,
I don't
never
even see it, but I still do it.
But I think a bigger motivation now, and I'm glad that you brought that up, is sort of this question of, you know, will that drive to meet those margins supersede the virtuosity of creating a single player experience?
I think that's the trend we're beginning to see more and more now. We've had companies like Sony come out and say, no, we are still dedicated to the single player experience. But more and more, that is becoming an artistic statement versus a financial statement.
Exactly.
Ah, very good point.
And I think that it cannot be understated that, yeah, if you're looking to make money, you got to figure out what your microtransaction
and
plan
is. Multiplayer
looks like, and you know, really, it does seem like those projects that are multiplayer only are coming out with the biggest margins.
And I think this is something that kind of was going to be natural that happens. Robbie, you and I love the Fast and the Furious series. The Fast and the Furious series probably will never win an Oscar for anything.
No.
It will never be lauded as some of the greatest cinema ever created.
John Cena's going to be in the next one, though.
See? That's exactly what I mean.
And we're going to go see it.
Right? But we're going to go see it, and it's going to make a buttload of money. But at the same time, there's going to be other films that come out this year that are going to be lauded by people who know and love, quote unquote, film.
So what is the incentive then to make a strong first person player game? A strong single player narrative.
I think as a developer, it depends on where your strengths are, because obviously everything's not going to come out like Red Dead Redemption and make $1 billion, right?
It's simpler than that.
Even when it comes to, you know, games like Fortnite, not everyone that comes out with a Fortnite is going to have the exact same success with it.
But it's simpler than that. It's about the ethos of your company and what you value as a company, as a collective. There are going to be people who make single player games that so much care and love and artistry has gone into them that they're going to sell like gangbusters. And it probably will be one of the top selling games of the year. Will it match probably what Fortnite makes?
No.
Of course not.
Right, and it just seems profoundly unfair from an artistic standpoint.
It does.
To have all of this care and effort be put into something like a God of War, like an Elder Scrolls game. And really, the only opportunity that you get as an individual and as a consumer to, you know, put your money behind that or show your support behind that is not, you know, like a little, the trickle of DLC,
right,
that you get for the continuing support for that game or special collector's editions.
Is it fair that God of War comes out and is, as great as it is 5% as profitable
you
as Fortnite?
You only get to pay $59.99 for that once. But we've seen the kind of margins that, you know, a Pokemon Go or something like that can bring in.
So
I paid $700 for Pokeballs over the span of 2 years.
But it's not so black and white with every single company, all right? Supercell, for example, they do Clash of Clans. Last year, that company, amongst all of their mobile games, $1.6 billion in revenue. That's not profit, which means that a game like Red Dead Redemption 2, a single game, did outsell multiple mobile titles.
But the whole point I'm trying to say is that if people truly do love single player games and they don't want this trend to continue, then you have to mobilize with your dollars.
Yeah.
As long as people still spend money on microtransactions, this trend will continue.
That's very true. Vote with your feet. I think that's the best takeaway that we could reach here. But listen, we want to hear from you. Are you concerned about this trend? Do you think that we could see a future without single player games? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a wide collection of podcasts and interviews. Checkpoint XP Daily will be back tomorrow with the latest in esports and gaming news with Sarah Skopic. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern live at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis. And of course, my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP Daily, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Abe Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.